sin for us, took the blame, stole the crop which had forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us.
If you've got a Bible, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Now, lots of you good people here have been journeying along with Battle Baptist for some time now, and so you know that we tend not to rush on after Easter. This is not a church really where you have Easter and it's all done and dusted in an hour, and then you get back to whatever sermon series you were on. I think it's really important not to rush on from Easter, but to dwell on the enormity of the resurrection and what the resurrection of Jesus achieved for us. It's been said many times that only two things in life are certain: death and taxes. You can evade tax and you may not even get caught, whereas you can't evade death. That is an absolute certainty. And the essence of Easter is that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has slipped through death, has completely overcome it, and has come back to this world as a guarantee that we too are able to pass through death into resurrection and eternal joy. And that is a tremendous message of hope. And you think in our church in the last year, we've gathered so many times to say goodbye to loved ones who died, who went to be with the Lord. And there's a sense in which that could have become very depressing for the church. Person after person has just gone from our immediate presence in the last 12 months. But we have this hope because we believe in Jesus. Death could not hold Jesus. His resurrection, the first fruits of Easter. And Jesus himself said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus said that himself. And now in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus has abolished death. But I wonder what he meant, because its signs are all around us. You know, Jempson's and Towner's were in business last week. The mortuary in the hospital is not in danger of being turned into a creche anytime soon. Florists are still making money, selling tributes, floral tributes. I know death in some ways seems very much alive. So in what sense then has Jesus abolished it? Well, we need to go to the book of Romans in chapter 5. And in verse 12, we're told that Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. And now everyone has sinned, and so everyone must die. And death is still working 100% in today's world, however much the modern generation tries to sanitize death or to take it out of our immediate presence, so that, you know, there'll be people 50, 60 years old who will have never actually seen a dead body, because we live in a society, in a culture that tries to pretend it isn't there, and it's taken away from you as soon as it can be. But death is still working 100% in today's world. We're told that people are living longer. And there's been this huge debate about pensions. People are maybe on average living longer, but the outcome is still the same. You know, 100% of people with private medical care are going to die, just as 100% of people who are relying on the NHS are going to die. The outcome is going to be 100% in every case. And the word translated abolished in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, really means rendered completely powerless. That's how Jesus has abolished death. He has rendered it powerless. And when Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter, he rendered death powerless forever. And that means that death has taken on a new meaning for those people who are followers of Jesus. For those who are trusting Christ, it is about passing from one degree of life to another. And I think that's why there is a note of hope and joy in many Christian funerals. And by contrast, many non-Christian funerals do need to end up in a pub, because people can only try to drown their sorrows and blot it out with alcohol, that sort of thing. But we don't need to do that, because we do not mourn as people who do not have hope. And that's why so many of our funerals, I think, do take on quite an upbeat note, because we have a glorious hope. And that is what the Apostle Paul meant when he said in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And I think sometimes, even in the church, we need to hear that. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Because if we're not careful, we can be guilty, like so many people in the world, of thinking that when people die, it is a loss. Of course there is a natural sorrow, but for them it is a gain if they're trusting Jesus to save them. You know, having seen the Lord, they wouldn't actually want to come back, even if they were to be given that opportunity, because to die for them and for those of us trusting Christ is gain. Just over 100 years ago, about 130, 140 years ago, people discovered how to record the sound of the human voice on a wax cylinder. Now, science has taken many leaps forward since then, and now we can make film clips on telephones. And this means that we're quite familiar with the idea of listening to the voices of people who've died. And we do that every time we watch a really old film. We're looking at the hearing the sounds of people who've long since died. And if human beings can do that with the voice and through the medium of film, why do we think it completely odd that Almighty God can restore not only the voice of a person, but to restore an entire person to life? If in the last 140 years, through our scientific discoveries, we, as it were, can make the dead live through the medium of film, why do we suppose that God is almighty can't do that in reality? Death has always been a puzzle to people. About 2,000 years before Jesus, Job asked this question: if a man dies, will he live again? It is a huge question. And it's a huge question that the events of that first Easter was meant to answer. And death is still a big question at the end of life. What comes next? Or is that it? Now, the Bible teaches that after death comes judgment. And at that judgment, because all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, it isn't actually going to be a happy outcome, except for one amazing thing: the death and resurrection of Jesus and those who are trusting Christ to save them. And the Apostle Paul gives us an insight of this in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is quite a complicated chapter about resurrection. And in verse 50, we break into the story, the argument. He says, "My friends, I want you to know that our bodies of flesh and blood will decay. This means that they cannot share in God's kingdom, which lasts forever. But I will explain a mystery to you. Not every one of us will die, but we will all be changed. And it will happen suddenly, quicker than the blink of an eye. At the sound of the last trumpet, the dead will be raised. And we will all be changed, so that we will never die again. Our dead and decaying bodies will be changed into bodies that won't die or decay. The bodies we have now are weak and can die, but they will be changed into bodies that are eternal. And then the scriptures will come true. Death has lost the battle. Where is its victory? Where is its sting? Sin is what gives death its sting, and the law is the power behind sin. But thank God for letting our Lord Jesus Christ give us the victory. My dear friends, stand firm and don't be shaken." How often do we actually need to take notice of that little bit of scripture? Stand firm and don't be shaken. So many clamoring voices today would want to shake you from your faith. Sadly, even voices within churches would want to shake you from your faith. And we're told here, stand firm, don't be shaken. Always keep busy working for the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to run a church or two. Yeah. Always keep busy working for the Lord. You know that everything you do for him is worthwhile. Now, the Bible tells us that the sting of death is sin. Just think for a moment about a bee. The only way the sting of the bee can be taken out is if you sting yourself, if you allow yourself to be stung. And then the bee can hurt no one else, and the bee itself will die. And that's a picture, really, of Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus took the whole venom and poison of death that you and I deserved for our rebellion against God. And at the cross, death stung and killed him. But death could not hold him. He took all of its evil poison so that there is none left for us to fear. Now, sometimes in the Bible, death is likened to sleep. And when people go to sleep, they plan to wake up again. You know, when I say goodnight to Pat, I don't say goodnight, Pat, see you in heaven. You know, the anticipation when I drop off to sleep is that I'm going to wake up again in the morning. Now, sometimes people want to know about the body they will eventually be given after death or when the Lord comes again. And we know that the body we receive or we're going to get is going to be incorruptible. Yet in some ways, it's going to be like the body we have now. The body of Jesus, after he rose from the dead, was both the same and yet different. He ate before his disciples to demonstrate he wasn't some sort of ghost you could put your hand through. And yet he also appeared in locked rooms, and his body didn't seem to be subject to the physical laws it was subject to before he died. Now, of course, there are those who dismiss the idea of a resurrection body as completely impossible. But think about this. Every cell of our body is replaced and renewed as we go through life. My children seem to find my legs amusing. I don't know why. You'll have to ask them. That's one of the reasons I tend to keep them covered. I don't want to go around with people thinking I'm a comedian with funny legs. But I clearly don't have the same legs I had when I was an 11-year-old, because the legs I currently have are a lot longer. And they have renewed themselves again and again as the old cells have died and been replaced. And yet I've got the same mark on the leg from an injury I had when I was about 11. Anybody here over the age of 50 is living in the 7th or 8th version of the body. So today you're looking at Dennis, I suspect, version 8. But in eternity, it will be Dennis' eternity version. And in eternity, none of us are going to be susceptible to viruses or system failures or bits that drop off or don't work. And our text in 2 Timothy 1 speaks of not just of death being abolished, but of Jesus bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel. And the good news of Easter isn't that Jesus went from the land of the living to the land of the dying. He went from the world of the dying to the world of the living. And the gospel, or the good news, is that through faith in his death and resurrection, every one of us who's here today could pass from death to life. And the question is, do people want that? Or do they want to stay in the sin cycle, which is going to lead to an eternity away from God's presence? Are you trusting in the man who rose from the dead? Because Jesus still stands with his arms wide open, inviting us to accept his offer of forgiveness of sin and life eternal. I'd just love to feel that everybody we knew had the opportunity to respond to that once in their lifetime. You know, this is why I encourage you to do all you can to support the local church here. A lot of you have heard the gospel, you've responded to it, you love Jesus, and there's a temptation to think, well, I love the Lord, so if I can just keep myself entertained with religious entertainment, hang on to the second coming or until I die, that's it. I don't need to worry about what's going on beyond here. But we do need to worry about what's going on here, beyond here, because Jesus didn't just die for 100 or so people in this building or people who go next door or to the other churches in the town. No, Jesus died for everybody in this town. Those who are not interested in him, those who are old and shut in and who can't get out on their own, Jesus died for them. Jesus died for the kids who go around on the skateboard ramp. Jesus died for the children at school. And that's why I encourage you to do everything you can to get behind the various missions of the church here, like the sports reach, like the lunch club, like the other things we do, to reach out to people of different ages. This is why, not just on Easter Day, but on normal Sundays, Let's do what we can to invite people along or to invite them to come to something where there's going to be some clear presentation of the gospel. All of us know people who are headed for a lost eternity. Not one of us only knows Christians. And if we do, I don't want to know about it. Because if we only know Christians, there's been a big system failure somewhere. Because so many people out there don't know the Lord. And it's so easy for you to feel discouraged because you think, oh, well, you know, I've been trying to share my faith with somebody in my family for years and it's not getting anywhere, so why do I think I'm going to be more successful with people I don't know? You know, that's just the sort of thing the devil whispers in your ear to keep you from doing anything. And the truth is, God wants the people in this town to hear about Jesus. The only way they're likely to do that is through us. You know, it's highly unlikely that they're going to turn into some Christian television channel. I think Christian television is great. If you're a Christian shut in at home, it's lovely. Nice bit of entertainment, good for Bible teaching. But non-Christians aren't going to take notice of it at all. Any more than when I flick through the channels and the Islam channel comes on, what do? Oh, get off this quick as possible. Don't want to put any of that into my mind. Well, I think a lot of people are like that with Christianity. So probably the only way people are going to hear about Jesus is if they hear something about him from somebody like us. And I think that's why it's really important to, yes, it's great for people, for me to say that Jesus stands with arms wide open, inviting us to accept his offer of forgiveness. But unless there are people in church who don't know him, or unless there are people in our various groups who don't know him, there's not likely to be a response. So I want to encourage you, if you know and love the Lord, to think, you know, why has God left me here? I've moaned to him enough about this, that, or the other, my various aches and pains. Why am I still on this earth? Well, you're still on this earth because there's still something for you to do. And the thing that we're meant to be doing is witnessing to our faith in Jesus as the opportunity presents itself. Now, as I said right at the outset, each of us has an inescapable appointment with death one day. But providing we've put our trust in the one who holds the keys of death and Hades, all will be well. So we can rejoice. Easter is an open season with God, for the tomb remains empty. So in the words of Jesus, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The day is going to come when God is able to wipe every tear away. And until that day comes, Jesus, the light of the world, is still able to lead us through the darkness and suffering of death and into the glorious day of eternity that is never going to end. Amen.